Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Bijou Banter. In the Zoom studio, we got Orson Codd.
Hello.
And myself, Matthew Huh. And today, we are going to devote an entire episode to a film that came out a few weeks ago called Nope. Nope is the latest film from writer-director Jordan Peele, best known for directing and writing Get Out and Us. And we're going to devote an entire episode to this because there's a lot to talk about with this movie. It's a very unique, very interesting, and very original film that we don't really see a lot of nowadays. So for starters, the cast, it stars Daniel Kaluuya, Kiki Palmer, Steven Yeun, Michael Wincott, Brandon Pereira, Ren Schmidt, Barbie Ferreira, and Keith David. And the plot of Nope, direct from IMDb, it's about the residents of this lonely desert in inland California who bear witness to a very uncanny and chilling discovery that they believe is a UFO. What do we think about this film?
Yeah, I'm a big Jordan Peele fan. I think like 99% of everyone else in the world, Get Out is, in my opinion, an incredible masterpiece. Even now, you know, 5 years later, almost six or something, it still holds up. I think it's great. Us, it's enjoyable. I think I'm in the minority when I like it a lot more than most people, but it definitely has a lot of plot holes. So it's a solid 7 out of 10. And Candyman, which I technically count as part of Jordan Peele's filmography, even though he didn't direct it, we already know about that. You can go listen to it, actually, if you want. And so I had huge expectations for Nope, and it's fine. It's good. I'm not, you know, it seems like this is a very mixed bag for people because there's a lot to unpack with a Jordan Peele movie fairly. I definitely think he's one of those filmmakers where you have to watch his movies at least two or three times before you fully process it. So I feel like this review of mine, which I'm about to give, is, you know, only halfway there, but I still have enough thoughts to, you know, give my general consensus. It's really what Jordan Peele does well is he knows how to master a good story that has a lot of hidden symbolism. And we'll get into what, you know, those are eventually, but it's a fun watch. It's, you know, 2.5 hours almost. So I don't know if it necessarily needs to be that long, but he definitely gives a very interesting twist on the UFO tale while also taking inspiration from, you know, various spectacles like Steven Spielberg and some of his films.
Jordan Peele at this rate has become one of those filmmakers where every project he has now, you immediately are drawn to it. Like, his name holds such a high standard of quality, which is impressive considering this is only his third film. Grant, he's been in the industry for many years at this point, beginning with like Mad TV and then Key and Peele, which is a classic comedy show of our generation. I highly recommend checking it out if you haven't, if you would like to. When he made Get Out, it really showed that he had a talent for creating really smart films that really go against your expectations. Like Get Out, I don't think a lot of people predicted it would have been as successful and as influential and as important as it has now become. Nowadays, it's considered one of the best films of the 2010s. And Us, I remember being so excited for it. And I really like Us. I haven't seen it since it came out, but it showed that even when creating a straight up horror film, which I would consider Us to be, he still can do it very strongly. So when Nope was announced, when there was all this mystery surrounding what's this movie about, the trailers and the marketing did an incredible job of being like, what is Jordan Peele going to do next? And I think Nope is an example of very successful marketing because it immediately grabs your attention, but it doesn't tell you anything about the plot. So for that reason, I was very, very excited for this movie. And especially because Jordan Peele is continuing to get big budget funds to create very original and out there ideas. And when I finally saw Nope, I've seen it twice now. I do think it's his weakest film for now. That might change if I ever rewatch Us again, but it's still very, very solid. Like, there's not many films currently out in theaters, with the exception of maybe something that A24 would do, that is this original, this unique, and this subversive from a mainstream Hollywood studio like Universal Pictures. And it does subvert the idea of a Hollywood blockbuster while simultaneously being one. There's a lot of influence from Spielberg, Twilight Zone, and even Shyamalan as well. Yeah, Shyamalan. But it manages to stick out so well because the script is really good. I have some problems with the narrative itself, but the themes and the interpretations that are elicited from this film make you want to rewatch it again and again and look into the themes and details. And I think that's the best type of film because it you want to rewatch it. You want to go out of your way to see it again. And on top of that, it's visually incredible. The cinematography and filmmaking on display is absolutely astonishing, especially on a big screen. The performances are really good too. It has a very nice presentation as well that sucks you into that sort of big budget genre filmmaking. And I think what Jordan Peele has done is very special. Even though it is his, it might not be his greatest work, it's still super solid.
When I mentioned Shyamalan, obviously he's taking inspiration from, you know, when I say this, I mean it in a good way. I think he is this generation's M. Night Shyamalan. Let's just hope he doesn't maybe fall to, you know, drinking a little bit of his own Kool-Aid, because obviously that happened with Shyamalan and the bigger budget stuff. But he definitely, what you can tell, what Shyamalan has is he pours his heart and soul into the movie. He's clearly so passionate about being an original storyteller and doing the best job that he can as a filmmaker. So I got to give Jordan Peele that. And then that's a great thing and a huge compliment, because he's very much one of the auteurs of working right now in the industry. That's very distinguishable from a lot of others.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. So the Shyamalan element has been brought up a lot. A lot of people have been comparing this film to Signs, which Signs is a very polarizing film. I'm not one of those fans of that movie. I see what he was trying to do, but I found it very silly, unintentionally silly, and has, in my opinion, the worst plot twist of any of his movies. This seems like if Signs was a lot more refined in terms of its thematic integrity and also its like storytelling as well. Because in Signs, the problem was that it's about normal people bearing witness to something very strange and unusual, but it's the dialogue that really killed it. And also the plot twist was just so dumb and far-fetched. Whereas this, what I really like about Nope is that it has such a grounded tone. And yeah. Alien, I know people out there believe that aliens are real. I'm one of those people that don't think aliens exist. But if they were to exist, and if we were to have an invasion, the way that our main characters go about it is very realistic, because Daniel Kaluuya and Kiki Palmer, they play siblings who their family history is that they're horse wranglers for the film industry. Their great-great-grandfather was the stuntman who was part of the very first assembly of photographs to create a motion picture. So it's nice that, first of all, Peele is calling back to that sort of filmmaking history, but to have the main characters be animal wranglers, which that will also, we'll probably get more of that into spoilers, you could tell that these individuals know what they're doing, and they're very smart. The way they go about their plans to gather the evidence of whatever this thing is very methodical and very, very much in line of what you would do. Like, you would want to know more information. You wouldn't immediately want to call the authorities. You want to discover it for yourself, because you want to be the one who's like, I discovered something incredible, because the movie is about the spectacle. It's about sensationalism, even exploitation in some ways too. Everyone has that clear, a similar perspective, like, I want to bear witness to something awesome, but it's the way they go about it and what they want to do with that discovery is what makes it so interesting.
Yeah, I was telling you this before we started recording. I watched Close Encounters a couple days ago, and I'm glad I watched it actually after seeing Nope, because I picked up on a lot more of the things that he's paying homage to, like specific scenes from Close Encounters, and he put his own twist onto it. So he's very much taking that kind of that spectacle aspect that, you know, Spielberg is known for doing in his movies, and Jordan Peele's doing it, well, again, paying homage, but also doing it in his own way. And one can just look at the cinematography. The night stuff is incredible. I feel like I saw something that maybe they filmed a lot of those scenes in the day, and then they used post-production to like turn it into night, which I find interesting. It looks like
some different, not.
I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I wouldn't be shocked if it is. That's pretty typical practice in the industry. But still, nonetheless, the cinematographer's name was Hoyt Van Hoytema, if that's how you pronounce it. And yeah, he's obviously working with Nolan, so that, you know, he's obviously very skilled. So it was incredible.
Yeah. Nope is it's interesting about Nope is that it was the first horror film in film history to be shot on IMAX cameras. Unfortunately, I haven't seen it in IMAX yet, so I can't comment upon it, but it has such a large degree of scale and scope that even with a lot of the effects for for this object that's flying around are very much computer generated, but even then the practical like wide shots of the desert and how there's these very, even in these wide open shots, you could still pinpoint the characters based on what they're wearing and also just how large and vast and open the world seems. It really, it immerses you into that environment, which Van Hoytema did flawlessly in films like Dunkirk and even Tenet to some degree as well. He's worked with Nolan a lot. He did Interstellar and also shot the movie Her by Spike Jonze, which Her is a very small story, but so much of the themes and the how the world works is through the cinematography. So he very much knows how to create worlds that feel large and vast. And with a story that is so much about witnessing something outside of our world, you want something large and very open.
You said something interesting, and I want to pick your brain about it. Do you consider this a horror film? Because I, in my opinion, don't. I think it's very much a science fiction thriller, but I don't know if I go as far as to say it's horror, because there's not really a lot of jump scares on this. There's maybe one or two, but that doesn't really necessarily always constitute a film being horror.
Yeah, this is kind of, I had a feeling this would come up. This is kind of a similar debate that Get Out had. People are like, oh, Get Out isn't a horror film. It's a social thriller, which it is. But I think I would argue that Get Out is way more of a horror film than Nope is. Nope has horror elements, but kind of like how Get Out totally changed your perspective and reinvented the way you looked at the genre, I think Nope kind of does the same. So it's not, if you were to make a list of like, oh, horror films, Nope would not be the first movie that comes to mind, but it would definitely be a bit lower on that list because there are elements where even when you see something scary, like there are some jump scares in the movie, one that is very, very effective. But a lot of, to me, what the horror came from was the fact that there was nothing. Like it was just vast open landscapes where you're literally the only person, there's dead silence. Like to me, that is pretty unnerving. So what I like about Nope is that a lot of it does come from the fact that there's almost nothing there. It's just almost your imagination is what makes it so terrifying. So, and that's what I really like about Jordan Peele is that he creates new ways for you to look at horror that are outside of the norm. Like when you think of horror, you think of a slasher film or a black and white chiller. In a way, Peele is kind of creating his own subgenre of horror, similar to Ari Aster as well. Ari Aster makes very different horror films that you would not expect, like Shooting in Broad Daylight, or I don't know, like in Hereditary is way more terrifying in some ways, but in terms of that slow burn, it's almost like a new subgenre that people will be like, oh, this is horror, but it's different.
Yeah. What do you think of like the narrative, like the way he constructs the film? Because that's been definitely a big topic of debate about the way it's told.
Would you say that the narrative is not very strong?
I'm going to say this, and I don't really necessarily constitute as a spoiler, but like they divide the movie into chapters kind of based on certain things that, again, I don't really consider spoilers, but just names of certain things in the movie. And I get what he was trying to do with that, but it was a little weird. Like, obviously, I think a notable example of someone that does do that, and they do it very well, is Tarantino. Now, again, Tarantino doesn't own, you know, the idea of dividing your film into chapters, but at the same time, he just makes it work so well. Whereas here, I don't know if it necessarily did. It felt like an afterthought a little bit. Like they filmed the movie when they were in post-production. Someone, or even Jordan Peele himself, were like, oh, we should just divide this into chapters. It might make it a little different than, you know, what he's done in the past. And I get what he was trying to go for, but I just don't know if it necessarily worked all the way.
I had a problem specifically with the narrative structure, because to me, what really made Nope so fascinating in terms of what made me want to go back and rewatch it were its themes. Because I think the themes about sensationalism are very unique in terms of how it handles the way people look at self, of like discovery of something grand and how they go about sharing that with the world. And it does play into a lot of that social commentary, especially with like news and sort of greater things that are happening in our society. Whereas the narrative itself, the narrative is kind of, especially in the first half, it is very all over the place. On a second watch, it actually is a lot more coherent. So I would recommend, if you have seen it, to check it out again if you would like to.
Do you think that's because you know what's happening?
A little bit, but there is a bit more, there are more subliminal hints too, but it's still not like in Get Out, for example, a lot of it is about the themes, but the narrative itself is so tightly written and so like tense at moments where you can still understand where he's coming from on a first watch, and it only benefits on a second watch. In Nope, the first time watching it, I was like, what is he trying to do in the first half? In the second half, I think it's a lot better when they do have that concrete plan. It's like, okay, now it's a little more straightforward. But in terms of jumping around back in time with specifically Steven Yeun's character, who is, in my opinion, the most interesting character in the film, his backstory in terms of him being like this child actor witnessing another horrifying incident, which has one of the most stark and bleak cold opens to any horror film I've ever seen. And leading up to that, seeing his past and the person he's become later, it makes sense on a second watch, but on the first time, it's very all over the place. I think it's one of those movies where it seems like he had two stories and he wanted to include both and have it all connect in the first act or the first half of it, where it should have been more split into two halves.
What do you mean? Without going into spoilers, obviously.
Well, I think it's like, because he wanted to do like that big reveal of like what about Steven Yeun's character before the midway point of the movie. But I think he should have saved that for the second half and lead that into the climax and have something more kind of crazy in that sense. Because it felt rushed almost. Yeah. It felt rushed, and especially the fact that Steven Yeun's character is primarily in the first half and isn't really in the second half as much. Then that leads into another problem. It's like, if you build up this character so much, why did you do it if he's not going to appear later on? I love this character. I think he's super interesting. But why? I was almost wondering, like, well, why'd you do it then in the first place?
I thought it was very interesting the way, that character was handled. But there was a rumor, apparently, that it was originally going to be Jesse Plemons that was originally going to play the character. But he dropped out to do Scorsese's new movie, which, you know, I love Steven Yeun. I've loved him since his days on The Walking Dead. I think he's a phenomenal actor, and I'm glad he's starting to get the love he deserves, obviously, with Minari and now this. But Jesse Plemons, I mean, he's also great. So hopefully down the line, him and Jordan Peele will work together on something. But
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, definitely the way they handled that character in particular, I thought was interesting. Because like you said, he's got so much backstory to him and trauma from what he witnessed. And the way he chooses to deal with it now as an adult with, you know, his own business and like how he's growing it is very interesting. I don't feel like they explored it all the way. Kind of what you said, it felt like he had two ideas about something, but he wanted to focus more on one story, but he also wanted to include that other thing, not really as like a side thing, but it's like, it's kind of there, but it's not all the way there.
And the theme of trauma too, I think is probably the one theme that Peele definitely tried to handle with as much respect as possible, but it felt the most forced. Whereas the themes of sensationalism and exploitation and discovery are very well established, very well developed. Whereas the trauma angle, it almost seemed like it would have been a given in a way, especially with how both characters or both groups of characters experience trauma in different ways. Even minor characters like Brandon Pereira's character, he plays the electronic salesman who helps the two of them with like surveillance cameras. He says he got out of like a 4-year relationship or something like that, and he's just kind of like down all the time. But that's almost a given. So the fact that so much attention is drawn to the theme of trauma felt the most forced, to me at least.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that, you know, with Keith David's character, I was surprised because they do something with him, and I feel like it just never really came back in the movie, like in the way it affected our two main characters. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Again, this, I don't consider it a spoiler, but there's a time jump from the first couple minutes of the film, and I'm like, it's only been this short amount of time, and it seems like some characters are doing things that, you know, I don't know if I would be doing if that certain thing had happened. You know what I mean?
And people react to trauma in different ways. Right. So obviously it's not the way you might handle trauma might be different from how someone else perceives it, but it just seemed it was definitely the inciting incident of the film, but that also could have happened to almost anybody, or it didn't even have to happen to a specific person. It honestly would have been cool if it just starts. Like, there's no, what's a good example of like, you know, in like some monster movies, like there's not really a build up, like the monster just comes out for right. no explicable reason and just attacks. Like there's no build up, there's no anticipation. It just starts right away and does, it just throws you in. So like that would have been interesting as well. But obviously for considering Peele wants to explore these characters, explore their past as well, he probably wanted a slower build. But
do you think this movie needed to be 2 hours and 11 minutes?
Yes. Really? I think it does. I think at points it is a little slow. It's very much a very slow paced film, especially in the first half. The second half picks up a lot and it breezes by really quickly. But the way what I do like about how these characters, first of all, the reason why they want to even get footage or evidence of this being is because their business is struggling. So it's understandable. It's like, yeah, if we can provide evidence for this incredible discovery, we're going to get a ton of money. And right. it's not selfish or anything too, which I think is really nice, but there's a progression. Like first they just buy surveillance cameras, like, okay, we can get this on security footage, but they're like, nope, that's not going to work. We need to one up it and get a film cinematographer and like create this crazy plan to, and learn the being's like psyche, learn its rules and how we can use that to our advantage to get footage of it. That's really, really interesting. At times it sort of deviates a little bit, but we also do see more of how people like Steven Yeun's character dive into the sensationalism, like to make a profit out of it. Cause he's basically the owner of this theme park called Jupiter's Claim, like almost like a Knott's Berry Farm type Western amusement park, and uses that to be like, I want to show you something unlike anything else, and build up that hype and sensationalism that where he is also making money from it. But that perspective is way more greedy and cynical. I like how we see both sides of it. And it's not to say that there's not really a bad person in this movie. You could argue that Steven Yeun's probably quote unquote the villain, but not really. It's just more how different people view and want to show the sensationalism, show the spectacle. What do you think?
I think maybe they could have shaved off like 10 to 15 minutes and saved some stuff for a director's cut. One of the things I was surprised with is, again, he didn't go with like the full on A24 slow burn horror film, but it was slow, surprisingly. It felt like there was always like a lingering couple of seconds with each take, if that makes sense, where I feel like they could have shaved off a few seconds, but I get what he was trying to do. But one thing you mentioned, the scene with Steven Yeun at the performance or whatever, the show, incredible. It was terrifying. We'll get into it, but I get what people say about like what the opening was. I thought that was, yes, that was very intense as well, but to me it was nothing compared to what that scene was, and like it was just so freaky. Like Jordan Peele nailed that. He is incredible with creating intense scenarios that make people like just get goosebumps all over.
That might be, I don't know if this is necessarily a flaw, because there's a lot of benefit to it, is that I think this movie is filled with very standout, very memorable sequences. There's many moments in my head that I can vividly picture and have really resonated with me. But as a greater narrative, it doesn't have that same impact, which Get Out has also really great moments and sequences that I can think of off the top of my head. Even Us, even though I haven't seen it in a while, but the narratives are also equally as strong, and I can remember like very vividly why these happen and what the central structure is. Nope seems to be more focused on its sequences, which are incredible, very, very ambitious, very unique and very original, but the narrative itself doesn't have that same impact. So it is a flaw, but also it doesn't destroy the movie, because I still enjoy it just as much.
I think he's able to create a very coherent movie, but where like his biggest issue lies is that it feels like he's not able to fully flesh out what the idea is, if that makes sense. Like it feels like there's so many, plot holes with what's going on that don't feel answered. Cause you look at Us, that's that movie, again, it's enjoyable and it's got a good story, but there's so many plot holes with like what just the overall thing that was happening. And I feel like that's the same thing here, is you come out of the end, you're like, wow, that was enjoyable. Wait, they didn't explain this. And not that everything in the movie has to be explained, but with what he's doing and the way he tries to subvert audience expectations, I feel like he should have given a little bit of like explanation as to what was going on and how certain things were. So
Do you think that would have taken away from sort of the mystery behind it? Because I think to me, that's what makes it so, that's what drew me towards it, was because yeah, there was so much mystery.
Well, I don't want to spoil it, but what he does in this is, it's not ripping off another movie, but it's very much paying homage to something just with a UFO mask that we've never seen done before with this kind of genre. And I feel like if it was just like stereotypical to what we've seen in the past, okay, well, we can just assume, like, we just know because it's so ingrained in our culture. But with what he's doing and how he's trying to do something new, I feel like there should have been a little bit. You know what I mean?
Okay. That makes sense.
I mean, we'll get into it in the spoiler talk because then it'll be easier to explain and flesh out my meaning.
Yeah, let me just see where we are. Should we go into spoilers, I guess, now? Sure. We're almost halfway through. So the being itself, it has the shape of a UFO, but it also hides in the clouds, but it's not a ship. The UFO-like structure is the alien.
Yeah.
And that is really, really clever. I really love the fact that it's like, you think that from the beginning, it's like, oh, are the aliens going to show up? Are they going to go into space? But it's like, no, we've been seeing the alien this entire time. And it is the shape of a 50s style flying saucer, which is one of the most well-known simple designs probably in human history. But for that to be the alien itself, I don't think we've seen before. And right. It's really clever how it hides among us pretty much, but also it can metamorphosize into this weird, almost like sea creature, like being. Yeah, there's a lot of Peel has mentioned how the figure was inspired by the angels from Neon Genesis Evangelion, which I haven't seen, unfortunately, so I didn't catch that. But a lot of people noticed that those references, and also how that itself is very similar to the biblical descriptions of what an angel is like, which could also tie in more to like the possible religious themes of this movie as well. But
well, that's what I was kind of saying a couple seconds ago, is he's clearly taking inspiration from Jaws with you know, having the creature be in the sky. And it's a very genius take on the, you know, typical UFO flying saucers, that it's actually the monster itself. But mm-hmm. I feel like that just opens so many questions of like, well, how did that get here? Like, and again, not everything needs to be answered, but maybe just a little something would have been nice. Yeah.
What my only real issue that I have with sort of that threat is the fact that, okay, in the beginning of the movie, the inciting is that OJ's parent or OJ's father dies because of the objects that fall from the sky from this being.
Right.
And then 6 months pass by and nothing is really established. What I'm confused is the fact that, okay, 6 months has happened. They're implying that the alien has never attacked since that moment, but now all of a sudden it does, and it's just not going away.
Right.
That's the one kind of plot hole that was bothersome, at least on a first watch, and even on a second as well. And also, if Steven Yeun's character has been showing this off for like everyone, then like they didn't notice either. So it's a little strange. I did hear something interesting that in their moves to like find where the alien is, they take like a fake horse statue to for the alien to capture, and that's why the alien got mad and was like and destroyed Steven Yeun's like family, basically. Like they all got sucked up into the creature.
That scene, again, what I was talking about a few minutes ago, was terrifying. When you see all really the people effective. Inside the alien, and like there's like it's been like a week since I've seen it, but like the faces sticking out of or whatever it was, and then you hear the people screaming as the flying saucer goes around or whatever, mm-hmm. and then it starts draining the blood. That was terrifying. Like that was truly wild. It was like just crazy seeing that in the theater.
I think going back to the flashback sequences, because Steven Yeun's character was also a child actor. Who he was on a TV show where it was almost like an ALF parody, where the main character was a chimpanzee, and basically there was an incident where the chimpanzee got startled and went on a rampage, killed everyone, and he was the sole survivor of it. That scene was horrifying. That was genuinely terrifying and very tense, and it also plays into the interesting themes about animals as well. And I kind of alluded to this earlier, where Daniel Kaluuya is a horse trainer, basically. So because he's been around animals his entire life, he knows that animals have their own rules and they deserve our respect. Meanwhile, Steven Yeun, he's like, well, I survived a crazy chimp attack almost by pure chance. He could have easily died. He doesn't realize that these animals have rules and deserve to be respected. So that's why he continues to exploit this alien being. Meanwhile, Daniel Kaluuya, as he observes it more, he starts to learn its rules. Like, if you look up at the alien, that's how you're going to die. So you can't look the alien in the eye. That's how you live. So that meant that sort of duality of how people are learning about the rules of this alien is really interesting, because in most cases, the aliens just come down and are like, oh, we're superior. We just want to take over the Earth. And that's it. But this is one of the few alien invasion movies where it's like you actually learn the purpose of the alien. We don't know why the alien's here or how it got there, but we know its rules.
One of the things that I thought was interesting was, A, they called it, you know, well, before I said that, the film, obviously, we've talked about a lot, has themes and messages about, you know, how humans are drawn to spectacles. Jordan Peele said in an interview, he's like, oh, well, you know, when you see a car crash up ahead, no matter who you are, you always try to sneak a peek at it. Because, you know, we're just drawn to that kind of stuff. There's no need to feel bad about it. It's just we are. And so I found it funny or interesting in the movie, at least, that A, they called Alien the viewers or whatever. That was interesting. And then when it starts morphing into its final shape in the third act, it has like this little thing that comes out of it, like this black thing that, like, you know, transforms kind of. And it looked like a camera lens to me. And I was like, that's very interesting. Like what he's trying to do there.
We could argue that, like, kind of how I saw that is more about surveillance. Oh, there's a, right. Most of the movie is about has a lot to do with like cameras, viewing, and also fate as well. You could possibly interpret the alien as it with some religious themes of kind of like with God and how he knows where you are. He always watches over you and he controls your fate and destiny. And whether or not you are a religious person or not, you have a basic understanding of a God type person or being who can control your fate. And even when it stares at it too, it's also pretty ironic how we're getting now more towards the end of the movie, the finishing blow or how they get the picture is from a giant camera too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like in the well. Yeah. So there's that. There's also the one element with like the surveillance that I think was, I could tell what Peele was trying to do in terms of the social commentary, but I thought was a little way more forced, was near the end with the TMZ guy.
Oh yeah.
That one was probably the only time where it became very corny. And I get what he's trying to do, but it's like, TMZ hasn't been relevant in like well over 10 years. And yeah, there's like sites like LiveLeak that do stuff like that, but that one felt the most unsubtle and could have been removed from the film.
Yeah, that was a little strange. I don't get the point of what having that in the film other than just to throw the guy around was, but I thought his helmet was cool, at least.
For some reason, I thought it was like, I don't know why, I thought it might have been Steven Yeun. Maybe he lived or something.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, so.
I liked Michael Wincott in the movie. I thought he was good as the cinematographer that basically gets the impossible shot and sacrifices himself. I thought that was pretty crazy. But then that opens up another can of worms. Is like what happened to all that footage that they shot of the alien flying around.
I'd argue that footage was way more valuable than the final picture that Keke Palmer took at the end, because you at least have moving footage.
Right.
So one thing that we didn't touch upon with the film's writing, and this is a positive, Peele is first guy's name, big writing comedy. And every one of his films has had some element of humor. Right. I think Nope is actually pretty funny in some instances, but in a very different way. It's so subtle in its humor. It's not like in Get Out where you have, for example, Rod, who is a great character.
Right.
He's basically the comedic relief delivering most of the jokes. In Nope, it's so much like the subtle nuances in the dialogue that I thought was really humorous. Because first of all, the main character's name is OJ, not Orenthal James, it's Otis Jr. But people are like, wait, your name's OJ? That's funny on its own. But then when they first discover, not first discover, like one of their first discoveries of the alien, and he's like really close to it. And then his sister, Keke Palmer, is like way on the other side. He's like, run, OJ, run. That's funny. Yeah. That's super funny. And especially, you might not pick up on it on the first watch, but on the second watch, I'm like, okay, that is genuinely hilarious. And it's right there. And most people probably didn't notice.
Yeah, I didn't notice that one. So when I get what he was trying to do with some of the humor. So maybe I'll have to go back and, well, not maybe, I will, but rewatch it and try and look more for some of those subtle dialogue hints about the things he's trying to be funny with. Because I picked up on a few, but not like, again, I didn't pick up on that one. I feel like I should have.
Yeah, it's nice because I read apparently that Brandon Perea's character of Angel, he was originally written to be a more comedic relief character. But after his audition, people decided to make him way more grounded and down to earth. And I think that was really smart, because if you had a character who was constantly quippy, constantly cracking jokes, it would have just been more distracting and annoying. Yeah. And for this type of movie where the characters are so determined and so committed to their goals, having that would just be distracting. So I like how the humor isn't so loud and bombastic. It's so subtle.
He was also supposed to die in the original ending, but yeah. Brandon convinced them not to kill him, and I was like, that's good.
There's a lot of people really interpreting this movie, which is funny, because when I wrote a review for this, I originally wrote it where I thought this was his most accessible film out of his three.
I don't think it is.
But in hindsight, I'm like, no, that's probably not true. I think Us is more accessible. But Us was really, like, a lot of people were turned off from Us because I think it was just too disturbing for them. Like, I met people that really, not didn't like Us, but were, like, really freaked out by it. So this one, it's not as freaky. But right. People are really digging deep to interpret and sort of analyze this movie, which is great. Even going as far with the title itself, the title of the film is Nope. Some people thought it was an acronym. And I'm looking at it right now. People thought it stood for, like, not of planet Earth or something like that, which ties into, like, the UFO stuff. I think Peele later said that that's not true.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see people, like, really dig deep into this. It's almost like, not that I don't think any horror film will ever get to this level, but kind of like how people read into The Shining, how they thought it was about, like, the genocide of, like, Native Americans, or it was a metaphor for the Holocaust or something. And who knows if those are true, but there's some wild fan theories for The Shining that some of them make absolutely no sense at all. But the fact that people are able to interpret that out of it is really crazy.
Yeah, they're definitely very, there are a lot of videos of Jordan Peele, like the cast, like talking about these fan theories on YouTube. I would recommend checking them out if you'd like to. They're actually pretty funny to watch. And they're like, oh yeah, that might be correct. Or, you know, that one's not correct at all. So yeah, they're pretty funny.
He's probably just messing around with people.
Yeah.
At this rate, it's just like you're just picking and choosing, like, oh yeah, that one sounds cool.
Yeah.
That's totally what I had in mind.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Where do you think, like, what horror movie thing would you like to see Jordan Peele tackle next? Because he's done kind of like the psychological thriller with Get Out. He's done, you know, the slasher film in a sense with Us, and now he's done the Alien movie. What would you like to see him tackle next?
It'd be really cool to see him make a chiller. I would love to see. Like, kind of like more akin to the classic Universal monster films, not necessarily a monster movie, but, you know, like when you look at like films like Dracula and Frankenstein, they're so slow burn. And so obviously with the limitations and also the Hays Code back then, you couldn't show certain things, but it was all in atmosphere, it was all in mood. If he made a black and white movie, that would be really cool to see as well.
Yeah.
So if he made something along those lines, then he would basically kind of get every single bit of like horror genre filmmaking. There's probably some other ones. Like if he were to do like a very, no, he can't really do a modern one because he did that with Get Out, really, because Us is your slasher film. Nope is your sci-fi horror. I guess all he has to do is make a silent horror film at this point. Remake London After Midnight.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he should do.
It'd be interesting to see him like tackle maybe a more traditional slasher that we kind of think of, you know, like the summer camp or like something like that. That could be interesting. But again, he's kind of already done it. And he already did Candyman too, which, you know.
Well, he wrote, but I don't count Candyman as a Jordan Peele film personally, even though his stamp, he has a lot of his stamps are on it. But yeah, I don't consider that one.
Do you think he'll do a horror film next? Because some people have said maybe it's time to find something else, like take a break and then come back to horror. Which I'm surprised he doesn't. I mean, he did Keanu. I don't know if you've seen that. Which I haven't seen that one. I don't remember much of it. It's been years since I've seen it. I thought it was relatively funny, but I'm surprised he hasn't done like a straight up like comedy, because that's what his background is.
I think at this point, I don't want to say he's pigeonholed into doing horror for the rest of his life, but he's so well known with that name with that genre at this point. It's almost like, what else can I do with it? Kind of like what Ari Aster is doing, like Disappointment Boulevard. I don't know if that's supposed to be a horror film.
He said it's a horror comedy. And I was like, that's interesting.
I read it's like a psychological drama, or like a horror comedy. I read like two different things. So whatever it is, it's probably going to be like wild and really unique. I know Jordan Peele, he's producing a Netflix stop motion film called Wendell and Wild, which is going to be directed by, he wrote and produced it. It's directed by Henry Selick, which that's exciting in of itself. He should do an animated horror film, like write and direct one. He could do something like that. Not necessarily make it, if he wants to go all in and make it like for adults, that'd be really interesting because we don't see that, but do a Coraline type movie.
Huh. Yeah, that could be, it would be interesting to see if he tackled like a kid's horror movie. Like
that way he could also put in his humor as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Jordan Peele's a very funny guy.
That could be interesting. I don't know if he'd actually ever do that, but we've seen horror directors like Eli Roth did one a couple of years ago. I never saw it. The House with the Clock in Its Walls. Rob Zombie's obviously doing it with the Munsters now. So I'd be interesting to see Jordan Peele do like a horror kids movie where it's horror maybe kids. Not necessarily just for kids, but adults can watch it too.
Yeah. I mean, even like going back to like kind of like the classic Disney films too, like you could argue that Nightmare Before Christmas is horror, but it's like the lightest horror imaginable. Even the early Disney films like Snow White and Pinocchio, they had really dark moments too. If you did something like that, like create a movie that the whole family could enjoy but also not be afraid to like go to places that are dark and not necessarily edgy, but because I think kids want to be scared. I think kids are smarter than that, where it's like they don't want to be talked down to. So have that where it's like you can present something very creepy and eerie, but also very accessible too.
Right.
Yeah, Jordan Peele, great filmmaker.
Yeah, I, you know, hopefully he'll have something, well, at least probably within the next year, get an announcement about what his next film is. So that'll be exciting. Because I know we signed a 5-picture deal with Universal and we're only, you know, through 3 right now. So we still got 2 more.
Well, Candyman wasn't part of that, right?
No, it was just his, like, the ones he's writing and directing.
Yeah. It's also, one thing that I think is really interesting, too, about this movie is that it seems like, understandably so, Universal had a ton of faith in this project to the point where it's like they're advertising. It seemed like they knew how to market it, which is interesting because I think this movie, if given to any other studio, would probably be like, how do you market this? Like, it's because it's so niche, like, we kind of talked about this before, like how early A24 movies didn't really do a good job of marketing their films because they didn't know what it was going to be like. It seemed like for Universal, one of the major film studios, they're like, we know what we got. We're going to market it how you want to market it. And I think that worked out in the end because in its opening weekend, it was the highest grossing opening weekend for an original film since Us, which for a pandemic movie, especially, that's pretty impressive.
Right,
because we're so used to like IP driven films. We've got stuff like Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is still an independent production by an independent studio, but this is from one of the big 5, and to see that is exciting, and it proves that you could still do Hollywood should still do Hollywood should do original filmmaking and not just strictly IP stuff, even though that's what makes the most money right now, like with stuff like Marvel and DC and sequels and everything. Right. But you still need original films. And this is proof that it's still possible to make money.
Yeah, I was, you know, I think comparing this to Everything Everywhere is a great thing because it's just so original and so unique to, because you can look at like both those films, you know, Everything Everywhere and now Nope, and you're like, oh, I see what they're taking inspiration from, but they're just totally subverting our expectations and doing something completely wild.
Yeah. They also, one thing that this is a very random fact about the film, the set for Jupiter's Claim, which was a real set too, that's another thing, the production design of this movie is really, really good. They moved that and permanently added it to Universal Studios Hollywood's studio tour and made that a stop on the tram before the movie even came out. It's the first time that's ever happened for the studio tour. So the fact that they already went and it's like, okay, we want to permanently add this to the tour, not for marketing reasons, but because, you know, it's Jordan Peele. And before the movie even came out and did and had the reviews and everything, they just had so they had that much faith in it. So it's like, we want this to be a permanent edition. And before the movie got into wide release, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yep. Do you have anything else to add?
Not really.
No, not as much. What? Apparently, there's talks of a sequel. I guess they were asked, someone asked if there is a way. Brian Pereira said that after wanting to change the fate where his character didn't die, maybe that would lead into something else.
I feel like go against everything Jordan Peele has talked about, like not wanting to do sequels. I mean, he's like talked about it before, but he just doesn't strike me as like a sequel guy. So I feel like if he wanted to do something like that, make the next movie, if it's a horror movie, and maybe like have like a subtle nod or something to whatever the outcome was after the credits started rolling, if that makes sense. Like have a newscast, like a broadcast going on in the background that's like, oh, you know, people in California encounter a UFO, but then the character in this new movie turns off the TV and they're like, oh, enough of that. And it's like, oh, I get what that is, but I don't think we need a full-fledged sequel.
Or a prequel. I agree. Don't do it. It's kind of like there was another movie we talked about on Banter where it's like, you don't need a sequel, just leave it alone. I don't remember what it was for some reason, but
yeah, I don't remember either.
Yeah, it was recent. And but yeah, now everything is a sequel. I think one is good enough, especially when it seems like you fully fleshed out almost everything that you want to, even though we have said it was like some elements might have been rushed. Some of them once felt like they got a lot of attention, but it's clear that he had a plan. He had an idea that he wanted to fulfill, and he did it. So,
I agree.
Yep. Yeah, I guess we can end things now. So, final thoughts on Nope?
I think it's really good. Again, I said this at the beginning. I want to go back and give it a second rewatch because I think my score will bump up a number. But the way I described it, I might have even told this to you. You look at Get Out. And you're like, okay, this is like Jordan Peele's like first kind of indie-esque film. Then you look at Us, and it's like his middle ground. It's still a little bit of an indie, kind of contained, but he's obviously starting to break the mold and do something a little more grand. But then it felt like he skipped the big film and went to the ginormous film, which is fine, but I don't necessarily think all aspects were pulled off to the best capacity. If that makes sense. There's, again, storytelling issues. I think the pacing could have been a little bit tighter. Shave off maybe 5 to 10 minutes at least. But I do think this is really good because obviously Jordan Peele has such fresh ideas that, you know, people are asking for right now, especially in the horror, science fiction, thriller genre. So of course I'm always going to be, you know, first in line to see what his next movie is. So I'm looking forward to it. Right now, I'm going to give Nope a 6 out of 10. I think it's really enjoyable. Like I said, I just want to give it a second rewatch when it comes to, you know, Blu-ray or streaming in the next couple months. So I'm sure it'll bump up to a 7 out of 10. But 6 out of 10 for it.
Nope is really, really good. I really enjoyed it on both watches. Like, it's, I think, kind of like Get Out. It's one of those films that not only deserves a rewatch, but I think gets better on a rewatch. Because I did like it more the second time. Even though there are some of the issues that I have with that one plot hole or like some of the way it handles its structure are still bothersome, it massively improves. And also, considering this is a movie about a spectacle, it is in and of itself a spectacle in terms of its ambition and the way it shoots its world and also everything about it. It's almost like a Spielberg movie. One of those classic Spielberg movies from the 70s and 80s that has been unearthed again. And only someone like Jordan Peele could do that and create something very smart and intelligent at the same time. So if you haven't seen Nope already, I would highly recommend checking it out if you would like to. It's playing in theaters everywhere, it seems like. So check it out. It's a really, really interesting sci-fi horror film that we don't get many of nowadays. And I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that concludes this episode of Bijou Banter. Tune in next time where we're going to be talking about something else. We'll probably, at this rate, the next episode will probably be back in the Carrie UI studio, potentially. Who knows? But until next time, I've been Matthew.
And I've been awesome.
And we will see you all next time. Bye-bye.